Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to the Standoff Show here on New Zealand Sports Radio. And after the Warriors' performance at the weekend, we thought they would be doing a change-up of their side. And so we thought we might do a change-up of the side here on the Standoff as well, and give the boys the night off away from having to deal with such a loss. But they rebelled and said, "Paul, you don't know what you're talking about." So I'm going to have to bring them back in. Hey, Brad and Richie, how you doing?
Hey, good, thanks, Paul. How are you?
Oh, well, I'll get out of the way now and let you do the show seriously.
Yeah. So I didn't know we were going to have a night off. It would have been good. But yeah, welcome to episode 9, season 3 of The Standoff with Brad and Richie here on New Zealand Sport Radio. We are here live every Wednesday on Facebook throughout the season. And yeah, he kind of took the words out of my mouth, Richie, but that last match really dampened my mood. But what did you think of the round?
Oh, the round was really great, mate. I really enjoyed all the matches from Thursday to Sunday. Was there a game on Monday?
Yeah, there was a couple. There was one pretty good one and one really bad one.
Yeah.
But yeah, while we're here live on Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m, you can also catch our show at your convenience on iHeartRadio. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. As always, we're going to cover everything you need to know in the week that was rugby league, including our top stories of the week, a review of round 7, and an update on our tips. We'll then stop and answer some questions from you guys, as well as some questions we have for each other. We'll then go into a preview of round 8 and make our tips for the week. Before ending the night, hopefully time pending, with a recap of the Super League. So remember to send us comments and questions throughout the show, and we may as well jump straight into the top stories of the week.
Let's do it.
Yeah. And see Simon's here. Evening, Simon. Yeah, there was a Dragons Roosters game.
That was the only one.
First part of the news, we have there, Richie. We may as well, we're ripping the band off straight away. The Warriors break the records for all the wrong reasons this weekend. And coach Nathan Brown claimed some of the players gave up. We'll discuss the match, obviously, in the review section of the show. But what's your take on his call on players giving up?
I don't think you concede 70 points without an element of a few players giving up, to be honest with you, because with the way the NRL is, I think the competition's so tight that first can be playing last, and there's still at least a bit of competitiveness about it. We haven't seen a 50-point blowout this year so far, so for us to have 70 put past it, sadly there was signs of white flag being waved and towels being thrown in, if I'm being honest, but yeah, wasn't nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't speak for you because I don't know that much of your sporting career, but I have been on the victory side of scorelines like this in my younger days, but I've never been on the receiving end of one. So I can't mentally put myself in that situation of what it's like to just basically be spending your whole time under the goalpost. But have you been in a losing situation like that before? Or
Funnily enough, yeah, I have probably once or twice. I remember one clearly, high school age, playing against Joe Rokitoko in rugby union. He scored at least a half dozen tries, and I think it was something like 100 and something nil. So it's pretty demoralizing. So feel for the boys.
See, I got to play Joe Rokitoko once, and we just narrowly lost because they didn't like playing in the country in the rain. So you took you pretty Auckland boys into the country, and they didn't like it. But I kind of tiptoed around it in my review that I wrote this week, because I mentioned like a lack of heart, but I don't really like doing that because you don't know what the players are thinking. But like you said, there was a lot of times in there where it looked like players weren't really wanting to be there anymore. I discussed it at work today, actually, because a lot of people were saying like it's their job, they should do it. It's like, how many times have you mentally clocked out at work if you're looking at yourself honestly? Were the cows on the pitch before the game? No, but they may as well have been, Paul. It was dirty weather. But yeah, I've mentally checked out of work. Obviously, it doesn't have the impact like a professional sportsman does, and it's not a good look. But hopefully, glass half full kind of approach, it's a wake-up call. But yeah, we'll get into it more in the review, obviously. We don't want to go too long here on that. Next bit of news, Adam G has been dropped this week. He was the referee in the Roosters game and did not simbin Daniel Tupou for his high shot. And he has been benched basically because of it. Interestingly, though, he referred it to the bunker and the bunker let it go. And that bunker official is actually officiating two games this week. So I can't really see the logic there. But what's your take? Do you think the Roosters getting another give me up by the officials 2 weeks in a row was just a bit too much for the NRL to handle?
Oh, yeah, possibly. It was a bad one, to be honest, and it just throws more fuel on the fire of, you know, when people come out saying that these top teams get looked after. You can guarantee that if that was someone else other than Tupou, if it was somebody like we talk about him in the naughty boy corner all the time, Jack Hetherington, for instance, probably getting a month off for that kind of tackle.
Yeah, well, we'll cover in a little bit how long Tupou's seeing on the sidelines for that shot. But I did see on Facebook and the like people doing screenshots of this is Hetherington's high shot that he got 5 weeks simbinning for. And this is Tupou's, and Tupou's did look worse. I know I love to say there's no such thing as a high shot, but the rules are the rules, and these ones, they are blatant.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's disappointing to see that happen. Even though I was going for the Roosters in that, because I really wanted to see the Dragons lose, I think the Dragons were hard done by in that situation. And then and my next bit of news is kind of going over a question we had either last week or the week before asking about Talakai. Obviously, I'll talk about him a lot very shortly in match reviews, but we were asked, do we see him being a Kiwi? And we both said that we'd like to have him. He's actually obviously watched the show and decided he does not want that. And he's declared himself for New South Wales. And in an interesting situation that Freddie Fittler doesn't normally go with, but he's kind of said it's okay for him to play for Tonga. He doesn't really, because Tonga are actually going to be playing the Kiwis, obviously, during the Origin period. So it means he would miss an Origin game. So Fittler said that doesn't matter to him. He would still have him in the side. So Kiwis missed out on another one. Good to see Tonga getting another talented player getting to play for them. And how long do you think it's going to be till they rejig the rules so Tonga are classed as a top-tier nation and don't get to play Origin?
I'm not sure, mate. Like, I think if you're beating the Kiwis and Australia, there's a pretty strong argument that you're up there with them. But again, we haven't had Test 40 in a couple of years, so it's, how do you know?
Yeah.
Would it be the same if they play Australia tomorrow? You don't know. in any event, I don't think Tonga Rugby League will have anywhere near the resources of Australia, for example. So, it's a funny argument.
Yeah, I guess if you're going away from who the team is and how they're performing and go to resources, they would still be a second tier. So that makes sense from that standpoint. I just want to stop seeing all these players playing for Tonga and using the origin loophole so they don't play for the Kiwis. Because that's really the main reason a lot of them are doing it. That might be controversial of me to say, saying that they don't care about playing for Tonga. But if you can play Origin and play for Tonga instead of just playing for the Kiwis, you get more money, essentially.
It's a pretty big carrot, isn't it, for Australia to have the state of Origin selection and all the money that comes with that. It's a pretty big carrot to dangle in front of a player. So it's a little unfair in that sense.
And see Fiona Evening, she said that they should be tier one already. Yeah, I think if it's going by the resources thing, though, I think that's where it's a loophole. But I think performance and player base, they've got some of the best players in the game right now. Obviously, still a bit thin in the halves, but everywhere else, they've got a lot of talented players. But we'll go off on that. We'll obviously get a lot more talk once we get closer to Origin and that international game in a couple of not that far away, really, a couple of weeks. So we'll move on to some signing news. The Dolphins have signed Cowboy forward Tom Gilbert for the 2023 season. It's only a one-year deal. I don't know much about him, but it's interesting to see another forward go to the Dolphins. They're going to have a pretty forward-heavy roster by the time next year comes around. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I know he's a promising youngster from the Cowboys, so it's another good one for the Dolphins for their forward pack. I mean, they're going to have a pretty decent-looking forward pack after all said and done, already having Felice Kufusi and Bromwich and the likes signed. So, it's about time to start picking up some of these backs, hopefully not Reece Walsh.
Well, I know there's been a lot of talk saying that they've got a lot more signings that they just haven't announced yet. So I guess we'll start to see those flood through as the season develops. So we'll keep our ear to the ground on that. But continuing with players leaving the Cowboys, the Warriors have nabbed Dejan Arce, I think is how you say his name. I apologize if I've got it wrong. He signed from the Cowboys for the rest of this year, effective immediately. He was even named in the extended bench for the Warriors this week. We messaged yesterday when the news broke, kind of saying we don't really know much about him. I tried to look into it a bit more, still didn't really get too much. He's played a handful of games for the Cowboys and can kind of fill a lot of roles in the back line. So I think he's definitely going to help the Warriors, especially with the back line stocks being a bit low right now. But what was your take on the news?
Yeah, it's hard to say without having seen much of him. I know he's only sort of had, is it 10? I think maybe 10 first grade games over a couple of years. Over a couple of years at the Cowboys. So, I mean, I haven't seen anywhere near enough of him to have an opinion on whether to be excited or, but with our backline depth the way it is, it can't hurt. So if he gets a chance, I'm hoping he's a diamond in the rough.
Yeah, definitely. And adding to that, the Warriors have also extended Viliami Valia's time with the club until the end of 2025, which I'm quite happy with. I think he's a good little talent, needs a bit more time, and it's good to see that they've shored him up for a few more years.
Yeah, that one I'm happy with. I having seen a bit of Viliami in the reserve grade, I know he's got a lot of talent and he's a good, strong runner. So I think he's one that just needs a bit of first grade time to develop that further. But, you know, I think he's a prospect that's waiting to emerge.
Definitely, definitely. And before we move on to my injury segment, we've got some more signings for the Storm. Storm have signed Tarek Sims on a one-year deal for next season. And they've also signed Catalan Dragons player Joe Chan on a two-year deal. I think great deal for Tarek Sims. You know, it's not bad when you're unwanted by the Dragons and the Storm want to pick you up. That's not a bad team to fall into. And I think he's a hell of a talent already. And I think he's really going to fill a hole for the Storm with all those players they've got leaving, going to the Dolphins. Joe Chan, I don't know too much about him, but he seems to be doing reasonably well for Catalans. So another good pickup for them there. And the Storm don't really get duds. They'll get one of the worst players in the competition and turn them into a diamond. So I think you'll see big years for both of those players next season. What do you reckon on those signings?
Yeah, Joe Chan's meant to be a decent talent from over there, but obviously we know a bit more about Tarek Sims, and on his day he's explosive and fantastic player. So you can pretty much guarantee once he pulls on that purple jersey, he's going to become, you know, he's going to fit in very well there. And with the players in that spine feeding him good pill, he's going to flourish there, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And so that was all I had on the news segment. Then the next two parts I've broken up. We've got, Paul?
Actually, before we go off the news, I've been doing a bit of research on the old tiers within Rugby League. And I've got an article from 2019, and apparently the international guy said that weightings are based upon strength of opposition also. So the higher ranked opposition, the higher the value of a win. And it's calculated over a rolling four-year cycle, with results degrading over time. Now, obviously, with no results recently at all, I'm surprised there are any Tier 1 nations. Australia, New Zealand, England are the only Tier 1 nations currently. So if they're going to get, if Tonga get enough wins, then yeah, they will become a Tier 1 nation. And apparently they are, that's back in 2019, that's what they were aiming to do. I thought some dollar numbers, which would be kind of interesting. So an Aussie makes about 30,000 a game for a state of origin appearance. So that's sort of 90K if you play all three. Mm-hmm. For Australian.
The kangaroos, Paul.
Thank you. It's 20K a test match, and the Kiwis make 5K a test match. So there you go. And Nocturnal Wright says, must be serious. Paul is not wearing his painter's hat. The reason I'm not wearing my painter's hat is because I'm not at home, so I've not got my whole setup. So I'm going to wear the headphones, and the bucket hat and headphones just don't work.
We still have news technically. I just broke the next two segments up into injury ward and naughty boy corner because we had a little bit to talk about in those. So first bit I have is injury ward. We'll start with the Newcastle Knights. They have lost Dane Gagai and Himmel Hunt for at least a month. They've said Himmel Hunt could be out for six after they both fractured their cheekbones. That's a big loss for the Knights, particularly Dane Gagai. No disrespect to Himmel Hunt, but I think Dane Gagai has been a real key part of this Knights backline this season. What do you reckon about the Knights' success or lack thereof without Gagai out there?
That's a big, big blow. When you look back on the weekend, the Knights were really poor, and we'll cover that more in our review. But losing Dane in particular, he's been one of the few sort of shining lights for the Knights. I know they had a great start with their first couple of games, but they've fallen off pretty hard. And yeah, that one hurts because he's one of their top players. So, you don't wish injury on people, but maybe it's my wooden spoon prediction coming true.
That's bad karma coming your way, Richie.
I know.
Next bit of news, we'll go with the Warriors. Dallin Watizeniak's going to miss this week after suffering a concussion after a sickening knockout in the match against the Storm. He was okay, thankfully, but due to the short turnaround this week, he has to sit out due to concussion protocols. But I think that's a massive loss for the Warriors, especially with Montoya suspended. They're going to have to rely on some young guys to fill in on the wings. But I don't really want to talk about it in the review, so we may as well cover it here. What do you think about that knockout? I tell you, there's not a lot of players I would want to get a knee from, but Big Nelson's probably the first one I'd want to avoid, but it was just a horrible collision. And then he dartboarded into the ground at the end of it, which didn't help. But what do you think of it when it happened live?
Yeah, not nice. It was one of two really ugly knockouts I watched on the weekend. One was in the Tyson Fury-Dylan White fight. And then this one was just as bad. You're right. Yeah. If there's one person in the NRL's knee you don't want to run into, it's those massive, massive knees on Nelson Asofa-Solomona. So not nice, but it was good to see Dylan come out on social media and say he's okay. He was just giving the ground a hongy.
Yeah, it's great to see that he's fine, because it was really scary at times there, because you could see that he was sleeping. And then when we were watching him get carted off, we were just waiting to see some movement. You could see before they put him on the stretcher, he was talking, but he looked terrified.
Yeah.
Which was really concerning. But yeah, thankfully he's on the mend. But someone who's not on the mend straight away is Warrior Josh Curran. He has got a medial ligament injury, and there's no confirmed time, but at the moment they're saying roughly around 4 weeks, in a massive blow for the Warriors. I think we'll obviously talk about it a lot more later on, but I think when he left the field, the Warriors lost a huge amount of impact. And it's really disappointing for him, because I think he's been having a fantastic year so far.
Yeah, he's been one of our best and most consistent all year. So you feel for Josh, because he's been in a rich vein of form, whether we've been winning or losing. But the Warriors roster is certainly the poorer for it without him there. When's Tohu Harris back, Brad? Have you had any whispers about that?
They're still judging round 10, so still like 2-3 weeks away. So he'll either be back just before Curran returns or around the same time.
Yeah, okay. Josh has got, you can tell he's sort of been the glue that's been holding us together in the forwards there. And you're right, once he went off, we went into a pretty steady decline after he went off. So having Tohu back would be nice, but we still sit and wait.
Yeah, exactly. And the last two we'll just quickly cover. Jack Bird from the Dragons, he broke his arm. Got no length of time for when he'll return, but it won't be this week. And Dane Lowry, he also suffered a medial ligament injury, and they're saying 4 to 6 weeks, which is a big impact on the Tigers. I know everyone, myself included, is raving about Hastings at the moment, but Dane's kind of been the foundation at that club since last year, and has kind of been really integral to helping spark their attack. So as great as Hastings has been, he kind of needs someone to play off. So might see the Tigers lose a bit of sting without him for the next 6 weeks.
Yeah, possibly. And Jack Bird for the Dragons too. I mean, he's been doing a lot of good there as well in the past couple of weeks. So that one's a shame. But yeah, I thought the Tigers actually did okay to cover Dane Lowry once he went off. But yeah, having him gone for at least a month is no good.
Yeah. And so that's injury ward. We'll get into my favorite part, which is naughty boy corner. We've actually got some. Normally it's only been a couple. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4. I got 5 for naughty boy corner this week. 4 of them, all for the exact same thing. So all of them have been banned for a match for head high tackle. They are Daniel Tupou from the Roosters, Aaron Penny from the Warriors, Tane Milne from the Rabbitohs, and Hamole Olakau'atu. I pulled that name. That's for you to normally say, Richie, from Manly. So they've all got a week for a head high. Tupou, like we said earlier, players have got a lot more for a lot less, but I guess maybe he's got a cleaner record. But as of the start of this season, they apparently wiped the board clean, so it doesn't make sense to me. Penny, I think, was a bit hard done by. If Egan hadn't come in early on that tackle, I don't think it would have been high. But it is what it is. And the other two, I don't think, were too much. Tupou's was the only one I would sit there and say, yeah, definitely. But they've all copped the one-match ban, and we'll move on.
I agree with all of those, Brad. The only thing I don't agree with is Tupo. I think he should have got more. But I love that Thug Life Brad's back saying Aaron Penny wasn't much in that. That was shoulder to the eye, mate. Come on.
It was going for the chest, and then Egan hit early, and in the split second, that chest became a head. You know.
I love that you're back, though. You're back.
I will argue that one all day.
What we tune in for.
So I think Penny was hard done by, even though you're being a scapegoat here and just trying to back the NRL. Good on you. There's a life jacket for you.
Thank you.
Last one is Jeremiah Nanai. He has got $1,000 fine with no suspension for a dangerous throw charge. I didn't see much in it. He did technically go above the vertical, as they say.
Yeah, so, I saw a lift over through the horizontal, mate. So
I'm happy with the fine. I'm glad that he's not getting suspended. I should say there's not much in it. I don't think it was some suspension worthy. So good to see cooler heads have prevailed there. But yeah, we may as well get into the round seven review, Richie, as much as I don't want to. But I'll hand you the floor.
Yeah, let's get into the round. Maybe we'll just scratch one game out of the review. But we'll start with the Thursday game, which would have had Brad absolutely salivating. Sharks beating the Sea Eagles 32-22 with 6-4 and a first half domination by the Sharks. They led 32-0 at halftime with Talakai absolutely dominating that left-hand edge of the Sharks. So it was 6-4. Talakai grabbing two of those. Mulitalo grabbing two, benefiting off some of Talakai's good work. William Kennedy snapped up a grubber from Talakai, with common theme here. I think he had a pretty good game. And Teg Wilton as well with the 6 for the Sharks. Manly did manage to come back a wee bit in the second half with 4 of their own. One to Christian Tuipulotu, one to Taniela Paseka, one to Lachlan Croker, and one to Haumole Olakuatu. So, Brad, what did you think of that first half?
Credit on the name. Jeez, you're making me look bad. Sorry if everyone heard my drink. I was a bit thirsty. Apologies to everyone listening. Sharks came out of the gate hard and fast. They were 32-0 up at halftime. Doing the half glass empty, should they be concerned that they didn't score any points in the second half? It might have been concerning if they were playing against a Manly at full strength, possibly. Manly, I give them credit for coming back like they did, but yeah, Talakai was a monster in this match. A lot of his impact was in the first half, but he's been a winner out on that edge. This game later on, we'll talk about where someone tried to copy it and it didn't work. But yeah, the Sharks still look the goods to me, and I'm worried about when we face them in round 9. It's 2 weeks away, and I'm concerned. Full credit to the Sharks. I think they're really building. You know, a lot of us didn't really give them a lot of potential to do anything this year. Kind of thought it'd be a year building with a new coach and a new lineup. But they've just really hit the ground running. I'm just looking at our top 8 predictions. We both had them in our 8, but not anywhere near where they actually are right now. Mm-hmm. And Nicholas is here evening. He said Nico Hines makes rugby league look absolutely effortless. Yeah, I've been really impressed with Nico Hines. I've always thought he was a good talent, but I didn't really think he'd hit the ground running, going from filling in where he needed to at the Storm to being a half and leading a side. He's really taken to it like a duck to water. So full credit has to go to him there. And Manly, their forwards just didn't really put in any effort. I looked at the stats. They had around 400 meters combined for their entire forward pack, which is not good enough. Mm. And that just flows on. It lets the halves down. I think DCE and Foran did what they could in that second half to get the side back into the contest, but it was just too little too late. Manly, I don't really know what else you can really say. They have talent. They just can't afford to start slow.
Yeah, I thought that might have hurt you a bit, Brad. I know that's your love child team, your second team, yeah. But I actually felt a little bit sorry for Morgan Harper. Didn't he just finish COVID?
Yeah.
And he's come back and had to face that monster. I felt sorry for him. That was a terrible half, and he was a bit
He got pulled.
He was a bit of a scapegoat for you know, what happened in the first half there, but I think he was left high and dry a bit by his insides as well. He didn't have a lot of help, you know. Quite often he was left one-on-one, and that's not the kind of guy you want to be facing up one-on-one with, you know. But just one of those ones. I mean, surprisingly enough, that's not the worst half of football we've seen from a team this weekend. So,
no. I was going to say as well that my analogy I was going to use, it doesn't work anymore, but my analogy was you've got a guy that can run like David Fifita out in the centres, and that's just unstoppable. But fast forward a couple of nights and that's completely different. It's just he's such a dangerous player in that centre. This week will be interesting when he's up against Katoni Staggs. Mm. When you've got a guy that can give as good as he gets,
yeah,
we'll really see how good Talakai is. At the moment, it's kind of like, you know, your young man plays in the young grades, you go and watch, and there's some, you know, giant boy playing with all the other kids his own age, just, you know, making fun of everyone playing because they're just that much bigger and stronger. And that's kind of how it feels watching Talakai right now, except he's playing against other professional men. He just makes it look easy right now. But we might see a different situation this week.
We better move on from this game, Brad, because Paul's on to us.
Yeah, Paul knows that we're trying to avoid the Warriors. So next round. Next game.
Next game, Friday night, Broncos defeating the Bulldogs 34-14. 6-3 for the Broncos, Corey Oates, Corey Pakes, Adam Reynolds, Selwyn Cobbo with a double, and Reece Kennedy. And 3 tries for the Bulldogs, a double to the Fox, Josh Adokar, and a try to Matt Dufty just after halftime. The Bulldogs actually led this one 10-6 at halftime and weren't looking too bad. But the Broncos, Brad, they had a pretty handy second half and had a 20-minute period where they put in 5 tries. You enjoy this one?
Yeah, I think the Broncos look pretty good. They took advantage of plenty of Bulldogs errors, which is what you need to be doing. If a team makes an error, you want to take advantage of it. I think Adam Reynolds is showing a lot more improvement out there. There were still some fifth tackle options that left plenty to be desired for the Broncos. But I think one thing I wanted to point out was it was great to see Tamara Martin back. Yeah. I thought he was doing a great job at fullback. It's not really his desired position, but he was getting involved real early when the Bulldogs were threatening. He did a few try-saving efforts, holding people over the try line. If you told me, you know, 6 months ago that Tamara Martin would not only be back in the NRL, but having a pretty decent stab at it, I would have told you you'd be funny, you know. Wasn't that long ago he had to retire because of a brain bleed, and now he's back out there and looking like he hasn't lost a step. Payne Haas, I thought, did really well. He got hurt early on, but he didn't want to quit and went back out there and played well. So full credit has to go to him, showing a lot of heart there. For the Bulldogs, though, they just made too many mistakes, and they still look unsettled as a team. Their spine isn't really clicking like I thought it would. But I think they'll be dangerous once things start clicking and working. But it's going to be a long season for the Bulldogs. You know, they're not top eight ready yet. But I think, you know, next year they'll be a lot harder to face.
Yeah, I actually give the Bulldogs a bit of a pass in this one. I know their preparation during the week was terrible with COVID, and they had a couple of debutants. One in particular, Jacob Carraz, I was pretty impressed with him on debut. He racked up 133 metres and 7 tackle breaks, so I thought he looked pretty handy. And Haas, like you said, Haas was even minus about 15 minutes playtime while he was off injured, still racked up 239 metres and off 22 hit-ups. So, but that's typical of him, so anytime the Broncos are traveling well, he's normally at the heart of their forward effort. So, yeah, pretty good effort by the Broncos in that one. Moving on, I think that was the only Friday night game this weekend because of Anzac weekend. We had some Monday games. So the Saturday game, Cowboys in the Queensland Derby, getting up over the Titans 30-4, pretty dominant fashion. 5-1. Tommy Dearden grabbing a try. Murray Taulagi, Scott Drinkwater with a beautiful try. Jeremiah Nanai carrying on with his try scoring ways, and Helium Lukey grabbed the fifth one for the Cowboys. Just one try for the Titans to Jermaine Asako. For a Queensland derby, this was pretty dominant, Brad, and this was the match you were referring to, saying the Titans were trying to copy the Sharks' formula, throwing a monster out in the centres. Didn't pay off for them, but I thought the Cowboys were impressive. What did you think?
Yeah, it was a dominant display from the Cowboys, and we got this one wrong. We picked the Titans here, and Simon picked the Cowboys. I completely forgot. I was watching the game and watching the Cowboys, and I was laughing going, well, Simon's an idiot for picking the Titans here. Me and Richie got this right. And then I went back and looked at my piece of paper with my tips and went, oh, no, I'm the idiot. Drink water, he continues to fire. Dearden and Townsend were meshing well, and Nanai is a constant threat in the forwards. He's been a good find for them. It's good to see a struggling side improving, which is kind of the situation the Cowboys are in. Titans never looked in the running. Moving David Fifita to the centres was a massive fail. He was found out defensively multiple times. He was trying, to his credit, I'll give him that. He was trying his best out there, but he's just not a centre. You can't just pick your biggest, strongest forward runner and go, you're going to be a centre now because Talakai does it. Talakai, at least, it was reserved, like lower grades, but he was playing as a centre in lower grades and played for the junior Kiwis as a centre. So it's a different kettle of fish. You can't just throw. It's not like we could throw Adam Fanua Blake and go, you're a centre now, buddy, for the Warriors. It's not going to work. But their defensive structure was in tatters. I've been talking about it all year that their mentality of outscoring opponents isn't going to work. And we saw that here. By the time they were looking to, like, let's get back into the game was over. I think Titans fans should be worried. I don't think they're the top eight team that everyone was claiming. They were. Neither of us actually picked them in our top eight this year, at least. So we're right about something so far. It's scary times for the Titans, which will make me sound like a bit of a hypocrite in a couple of games' time.
Yeah, I think next time I'm tempted to tip the Titans, I'm going to think long and hard. The Cowboys I'm impressed with, though, Brad. Not only Jeremiah Nanai out on the right-hand edge, you got Helium Lukey, the other second rower, out on the other edge. He scored a beautiful try, looks fast, and put some footwork on the fullback. They look like they're getting their balance right. And going from last year having the worst defensive record in the competition last year, they're one of only five teams this year that have conceded less than 100 points. So
yeah,
big turnaround in that department. Do you think they're the real deal this year? Did we underestimate them?
Nah. It's a long time. They've got some big teams to face, and that will change that points differential.
Nice. I like your decisive answer there.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the second Saturday game. The Tigers repeating last week's formula, beating another big team, getting up over the Rabbitohs 23-22. Was 4 tries apiece for the Tigers. David Norfoluma grabbed a double. Ken Marmalo grabbed one, and Luke Brooks grabbed a try. 4 tries for the Rabbitohs as well. Cody Walker, Alex Johnston, Josh Mansour, and Keon Kolomatangi. And Luke Brooks slotting the decisive field goal with just under a minute left on the clock. Another super entertaining game. 2 weeks in a row for the Tigers, Brad. We didn't see this one coming either. But what did you make of the match?
I thought it was a great game again. Tigers are really, you know, it's, I feel like the Tigers have been so bad for so long that seeing them start to get a bit of success, everyone's kind of behind them. you want to see them come back. Even though I knew it was going to be a pick I'd get wrong. I was just happy to see it. And yeah, it was another close one. It was actually quite clever. They, with Luke Brooks going for it, everyone was looking at Hastings, and that was the key there. Everyone rushed for Hastings. Hastings was just pointing at Luke Brooks, and Luke Brooks nailed it. Think it's great for Luke Brooks. He's really been developing the past 2 weeks with Hastings. Hastings is really bringing the best out in him. And
ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
With them playing like they are, it just makes the whole Tigers look better. The Tigers played near perfect football, which is something I'd never thought I'd say about them. They made only 3 errors in this match, and I think they've still got a few more wins on the cards for them. I've heard some people losing their minds saying they're a top 8 team now. I'm not going that far. You know, we'll see how it goes. We'll see a true reflection this week, how they can go in their third match. But the Rabbitohs just continue the trend. I keep saying that they just make too many errors and they were made to pay for them. If you want to take a positive spin on it, they played nowhere near their best and they just lost. But these are the games they need ice. I'm sure the Rabbitohs are going to bounce back. And they're another week closer to getting Latrell Mitchell back as well.
Yeah, I just feel good for the Tigers. It's great seeing a smile back on Madge's face. I like Madge, and after the start they had the first few weeks, it was sad to see. It looked like he'd aged. And yeah, Hastings has transformed them, hasn't he, Brad? He just allows Brooks to do more of just a run and gun role out there, and I think that suits him. And I felt really good for Luke Brooks nabbing that field goal as well. He's been one that's copped a lot of flack over the past couple of years, so
yeah,
nice result for the Tigers there. Moving on to Easter Sunday, we had my wooden spoon tip, the Knights, getting absolutely flogged by the Eels, 39-2. The Knights had a penalty goal early on, which was their only point scoring, and then from there on out, it was all the Eels. 6-0. Sean Lane grabbing a try. Hayes Perham getting a try. Dylan Brown and Isaiah Papali'i getting a double. And Will Penasini getting one as well. And Mitch Moses slotted a field goal in a pretty effortless training drill kind of manner right at the end just to rub further salt into the wound. Knights were pretty poor, Brad. Their goal line defense was soft, to say the least, and they just looked like they didn't have any idea on attack.
Yeah.
What did you make of it?
Yeah, well, we said last week that the Eels would make a statement after losing to the Tigers, and they did that here. They never let the Knights fire a shot. Eels dominated in the forwards. Isaiah Papali'i stood out yet again, getting that double, and he was just involved in everything. Everything was just clicking for the Eels. And when they're humming, they're hard to stop. They just need to keep it up. You can't just rely on these once in a blue moon. But yeah, horrible effort from the Knights in front of their home crowd. They lacked impact up front. And without that, the halves and backs never had a shot. They got a lot of work to do this week because they have to face the Storm, who just snuck home against the Warriors. So, they got it. Yeah, they got a lot of work to do because the Storm will be out to prove something, I'm sure.
Yeah, you made a good point about the Eels dominating the Knights forwards. I saw a stat there that I think the Knights' biggest meter eater in the forwards was Jacob Saifidi, who had 88 meters, and seven of the Eels' forwards. So the whole forward pack and a bench forward all got more than their best meter eater. So,
yeah, I think there was only one Eels forward that didn't get 100 meters or something.
Yeah, so it just shows sort of domination. I know Knights fans will be pretty unhappy with that effort on Anzac weekend, in particular at home. So I don't mind too much being they're my wooden spoon tip, but let's move on to the next Sunday game. The Panthers rolling the Raiders 36-6. Sorry about that, Simon. Six tries to one. Stephen Crichton grabbing a hat-trick. Isaiah Yeo continuing on his amazing form, grabbing one. Taylan May grabbing yet another one. He's in a rich vein of try-scoring form. And Viliami Kikau rounded off the try-scorers for the Panthers to only one try to the Raiders from Joseph Tapani. I thought the Raiders defended pretty, despite the scoreline, Brad, they defended pretty well in patches, but just weight of possession felt like the Panthers had a lot of ball and a lot of set restarts, and the Panthers blew it out a bit in the end. What did you make of the match, though?
Yeah, I think this is the baby version of the last game we're going to talk about, where both teams were quite competitive with each other in the first half, and then the second half, it fell away. It just fell away to a more extreme level in another game. But yeah, unfortunately, it's the tradition we're kind of seeing with the Raiders right now, where they'll give you everything they got in the first 40, and then you've just got to play normal football in the second 40, and they're going to fall away from you. If they can get rid of that back 40 decline and play for the whole 80, I think they still have a good side that can trouble teams. But I think they do need to lean on their senior players a bit more and get a bit more out of them, the Papali'is and the Whitens and so. But yeah, it's yeah, Panthers, what can you really say? They're just too strong and truly in a league of their own. They just clearly took the game over with pinpointing kicking, and it looked like an open training session at the end, as brutal as that is to say.
Yeah, 100%. They don't look like they're slowing down anytime soon, do they, Brad?
Nah.
Getting a bit of love in the comments too. I like it.
I see that. I see that.
I agree, Caden. I could listen to Brad all day long myself.
Yeah, stop it.
Anzac Day. Let's move on to Anzac Day. So
yeah. Get back on track, Richie.
We'll do the first one, which was, you know, I enjoyed the first one more than the second one, obviously. But the Dragons getting up over the Roosters. Brad's wooden spoon tip defeating my tip for winning the whole comp. So make of that what you will. But it was two tries apiece for the Dragons. Tries to Francis Molo and Jaden Sua. And two tries for the Roosters, Satili Tupanua and Joey Manu getting a try. Just a Zach Lomax penalty goal, the difference in the scoreline. This one was a bit of a turn-up, Brad. I think we both had the Roosters. Obviously, you had the Roosters because there's no way in the world you'd tip the Dragons. But what'd you make of the match?
You're cheating because you know what I've picked for the Dragons game this week. So you're trying to set me up to fail here. It was the first Anzac Day clash, and I thought it was pretty entertaining to watch. It doesn't matter how far apart these two teams are on the ladder when it comes to this occasion. They're always up for it, which is what we saw here. Dragons look good. I was sitting on the edge of my seat begging the Roosters to run away with this, but it just didn't happen. Ben Hunt was playing well. He was putting the Roosters under pressure with his kicking game. He had one or two poor kicks in him, but overall he impressed me with how he's been going. The Dragons also had a lot of injuries, which allowed the Roosters to sneak back into the contest. But the Dragons held firm. I don't like praising them, really, but it was a good performance. And I think a lot of their players can hold their heads up high. Roosters, the Roosters forwards lost the middle, and it was all downhill from there. They made too many errors. They had plenty of chances to get back in to the match, especially with the Dragons' injury count, but they just blew it with 50-50 plays. Starting slow against any side is a bad move, and it showed here. I feel sorry for the Bulldogs this week, because after a close win against the Warriors and a loss to the Dragons, the Roosters will be out for blood.
Yeah, I see Paul forgot to put Brad's face back on the screen. I thought he was just trying to deny some of the viewers that
handsome face. I see how it is now. Yeah, you don't have to just do it all on me. But, yeah, your thoughts on it, Richie?
Yeah, same as you, mate. I thought the Dragons were pretty impressive. 14-0 at halftime. Roosters came into it back a wee bit, but yeah, I thought it was solid for the Dragons. I don't know about you, but I definitely don't think they're the wooden spoon destined team. Has your opinion changed?
I still want to. I picked them due to hatred. If I was putting a more clear thought on whom I thought my wooden spoon would be, it would have been the Cowboys or the Tigers. So even then, I'm a bit off, but I'm not giving the Dragons any credit on being a top eight team by any means. But yeah, I don't see them being a wooden spoon.
Fair enough.
Unfortunately,
this game for me just underlined what I was feeling last week, that I thought the Roosters were a very beatable team for us. And it's just disappointing that it didn't transpire last week. You know, I obviously took the Roosters to do quite well this year, but I don't think they're quite in fifth gear yet, and I think they're still there for the taking for a few teams if they don't quite start clicking.
Yeah.
But yeah, good on the Dragons for picking that one up. Must be nice to win a game on Anzac Day. I wouldn't know, because we're moving into...
Well, see, Mark wants you to skip, but we can't do it, Mark. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, folks. We're going to have to censor this next section of the show, because it's just too painful for those people in New Zealand, and yeah, it's just not fair, so I'll just be back with this now.
Come on, that's not fair.
My vote was to skip this one, Mark.
No, we're professionals here. We've got to talk about it. We're going to spend the next hour of you listing all the tries, though. So
I was just going to get
started.
13 tries to 2. You heard that correctly, in case you didn't catch the game. 13 tries to 2. Yeah, bear with me while I go through them all. Jerome Hughes, Xavier Coates, Nick Meaney, Ryan Pappenhausen times 2. Nick Meaney, Harry Grant, Xavier Coates times 4. Another one for Jerome Hughes, one for Jesse Bromwich, and one for Justin Ollam. Wow, Xavier Coates will be sending Ed Kossi a Christmas card, I think. 2 tries to the Warriors, Dallin Martinez, Lesniak, and Wade Egan. Only 16-10 at halftime. Brad, how did it end up at 70?
Man, unlike the last game, the Warriors consistently refused to show up on Anzac Day. But they had me fooled here. It was a decent first half, I thought, and they looked competitive. And then they just didn't leave the sheds at halftime. We were talking before the show. I was trying to show off some stats. It was the most points conceded in a half since 1935. You've got stats that I'll let you bring up as well. But the first half, I thought, was better to watch. The Warriors scored some nice tries, and they let the Storm get some easy tries. And so I really thought we were in the running here. But then in the second half, it was all one-way traffic. The Warriors had 6 sets in that second half, and they only completed 2 of them. I just don't know. The Storm just never looked back. It's a hard performance to gauge, because I don't think they'll run up scores like that against anyone else every week. I think it was just lightning in a bottle. But they are a dangerous outfit, and they may rip the Knights apart this week. Xavier Coates, he scored a hat trick in 6 minutes, and they're basically going to point a minute. I think we saw the from Callum, he said like it should have been more. Yeah, the Storm missed 6 conversions, so it could have been a lot more. Hard to pick players that stood up for the Warriors, obviously. I think Lodge and Fenua Blake did the best they could. Losing Curran made a massive difference, I thought, and they're going to continue to struggle without him. Ed Kossi had a night to forget. I really feel for him, but he had a shocker. Unlike what I was just saying earlier on about another team, I'm not ruling the Warriors out this season. This is the worst match I've ever seen them in. It's definitely the worst match I've had to write about, that's for sure. But they've always been shocking on Anzac Day. We were talking before the show, they'll be playing really well. They'll get 40 put on them in the Anzac test. And then the next week, they'll go back to the form before it. It seems to be an outlier. At least I'm hopeful that it's an outlier. So I'm hoping and expecting a big bounce back against the Raiders this week. But there needs to be a lot of soul searching in that team, especially with all the claims about players giving up.
Yeah, that was the worst part for me, Brad, is that the feeling like of waving the white flag almost, you know, and throwing in the towel. That in this day and age, you shouldn't get 70 put past you. I know it's a Storm, but I feel like a lot of those 13 tries they scored, they didn't even earn. I felt like we gave them to them on a silver platter.
It was embarrassing.
It was extremely embarrassing. And like I was saying to you before we went on air, you get all these people you haven't spoken to in a couple of years seeking you out on Facebook and texting you. It's not a nice feeling. Nathan Brown, second time he's conceded 70 points against the Storm. Now, one as a coach, one as a player. Little interesting outtake for you. Maybe he's the problem. But on a serious note, it hurt a lot. It's just...
Is Nathan Brown going to be the first sacked coach this year?
Nah.
I don't think so. I think this is... Hopefully, we get a good bounce-back game against the Raiders this weekend, and then we can just start moving on from this, because we hadn't shown any signs of being blown away like this prior to this. And I think now it's almost at the stage where I think it's a mental thing against Melbourne Storm, particularly on Anzac Day.
It's going to be interesting, that game against the Raiders, because they're two teams that like to do okay in the first half and fall away in the second.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. That was the round. So we may as well look at the ladder and our tips, Paul.
Well, beforehand, what do you think about Fiona's point? I used to hate watching them play during the day. They used to play so bad, but now they seem to play better during the day. Was it because it was too dark and they couldn't see what they were doing?
No, I think they were just bad.
Yeah.
It could have been bright daylight, or it could have been the middle of the night. I think they were just bad. For a selfish reason, I'd prefer it to be earlier, because I have to do my writing and it's really horrible doing it that late at night. But here's the letter.
And don't forget, folks, scrolling across the bottom is the link to Brad's page. So go and check out his review, perhaps not this week, but normally his reviews of the year.
No one wanted to look at it this week, unfortunately. Not that I blame them. There's been a little bit of shift in the ladder this week. Unfortunate for us, but fortunate for some others. Panthers are still at the top of the ladder. Storm right behind them at second. Closing out the top four, we've got the Eels and the Sharks. Rounding out the bottom four of the top eight, we've got the Cowboys at fifth. Roosters sixth, Manly seventh, and Rabbitohs are eighth. Then we've got the Broncos at 9th, the Dragons 10th, the Warriors have dropped to 11th after that loss, Titans 12th, Tigers 13th, Knights are 14th, and then bottom of the barrel, we have the Raiders and the Bulldogs. And Rob's there. We'll touch on that in our predictions. Undefeated at Redcliffe, the Warriors are. And then that's the ladder. Not too surprising there, Richie. You got any takes on it before we move to our tipping comp?
No, not really, mate. That's pretty much true to form, I think. The top four in particular have really been the standouts. So, and the Cowboys, like I was saying, I'm pretty impressed with them. So I think they've pretty clearly been four or five of the top teams so far. So interesting to see going forward.
Yeah. So if you want to bring up our tips there, Paul. Richie and myself both got 5 out of 8 this week. Simon took the lead with the picks in the week, getting 6 out of 8, getting that Titans-Cowboys game right. He's closed the gap, but the situation is still the same with me being the champion with 37 out of 56.
Whoa. Slow down, Cowboy. It's not champion until the end of the season. You're leading. Champion. Not champion yet.
I'm champion. Defending champion too. Richie has got 36 out of 56, so only 1 point behind me. And then Simon is only 1 point behind Richie with 35 out of 56. So still real tight. And I've put down Simon's picks, and looking at his picks here, if a few things go his way, he could shoot past at least me. I don't know your picks, Richie. So, yeah, we'll see what happens when we go into that. But we may as well get into questions now. Is there any questions that you've compiled for us, Paul? We've lost Paul.
Sorry, I was talking away to myself.
Here he is.
Just to point out that the game was lost because Rudy didn't turn up to the game. It's quite clear. So my question to you boys is to kick us off. There's been a lot of increased talk of Caleb Clark of the Blues, son of a Rennie Clark, moving over to NRL. Do you think that would be a good move for him? Do you think he'd do well?
I'll let you go first, Richie.
You want me to go, Brad? Yeah. I actually think he would do well. When you look at his style of play in rugby union, obviously he plays on the wing, so he's got speed, but he's also a big body and loves the contact. He's quite a confrontational player for a winger. So I think his style of play and running style really suits rugby league, whether he play out on the wing again, or I think he'd make a good wing or centre. But I think he'd go well if he wanted to do it, I think, and manage to pick up an NRL contract. I think that's something he could do quite well at.
Yeah, I think he'll do well if he does. And obviously, being a rugby union player, he'll need to take a few concrete pills and harden up so he can play NRL first. I think Simon said he's trying to leverage for more money. I think it's part of that, and I think it's part of he knows that Rogers is going to take his All Black spot. So he's just trying to find something to do. I was interested until I read the interview and he said he's a Rabbitohs fan and would love to go play for them. And then I was like, I'm not interested, mate. You can stay with your stupid Blues team. We could do with him right now. We need a nice big winger. So I'd like to have him as a Warriors fan. But yeah, I think he would do well if he gave it a shot. It's just, I'm still nervous on if it's just trying to get more money out of rugby union and using the NRL as a scapegoat in it.
I think he's got the attributes to do well if he fancies doing it.
Yeah.
Fiona Tate says, what are your thoughts on Cameron George coming out and saying hands off Reece Walsh as he's contracted to the Warriors?
Do you want me to take this one first, Richie?
I don't mind, mate. Yeah, you go on.
I'm all for it. I think what he was trying to get to is Paul Kent and the like on some of the shows were saying that Reece Walsh needs to break his contract and go to the Dolphins. And I think he was saying you shouldn't, on a TV show that's kind of owned by the NRL, you shouldn't be promoting breaking contracts. It's not a good look. And I know a lot of people were saying it's hypocrisy because the Warriors broke Reece Walsh out of a contract to get him, but they technically didn't because he wasn't a top 30 player. He was a developmental player, which has a different level of how you can communicate and take a player. So it's a bit different there. He's actually a top 30 contracted player, and breaking it is a breach of it. And he just said it's not a good look to be promoting breaking contracts. It's In any sporting endeavor, if you are doing that, we all know contracts mean very little nowadays anyway. But I agree. I don't want to see people like stealing a player off us anyway. It's the same as everyone wants us to sign Jesse Arthurs, but the Warriors have come out and said, I think Mark, if Mark's even still watching, Mark's commented a million times trying to explain it to people on Facebook that Jesse Arthurs, we can't legally talk to about signing with the Warriors because he's still contracted to the Broncos. And I think they can talk to him in November But right now, even though he's training with them, they are not doing, I'm sure there's players doing the nudge, nudge, wink, wink. But on an official capacity, they aren't doing it. So I think it would be hypocrisy from Cameron George if they're like telling Arthurs, don't go home, mate, stay with us. We'll break that contract. But they're not doing that as far as I'm aware. So, yeah, I think good on him standing up and saying, no, you can't do this, and not letting the Warriors be walked over. Fast forward in 3 months when we announce that he's broken his contract and left. But yeah, I stole that, Richie, but you got any input?
No, you said it all, mate. I agree with you. I liked what Cam George came out and said, and I like that we are, you know, have come out and said that we won't be pursuing Arthurs for the similar reasons. You know, we're not able to. He's still a Broncos player. Yeah, I like the moral high ground we're able to take as a club.
Yeah, I see Simon's correcting me. I didn't mean that Fox was owned by the NRL. It's the relationship they have. They're like super entwined, and like that's the go-to for all NRL stuff. So if you're publicizing breaking contracts on the main media platform for the NRL, it's not a good look for the NRL. But yeah, Paul Kent says whatever he wants. It's kind of like what I get to do here.
Simon Hughes asked if anyone watched the free-to-air coverage on TV3 for the Anzac Day game. I think people have been turning off pretty quickly in that second half. Let's be honest.
I watch Sky, so I don't know what their lead-up was. I pay too much money to Sky to just go watch free-to-air. So
there was another question about, will the Tigers win this weekend? The bonus point, will they win by a penalty kick? We'll cover that, obviously, in the preview section. Not so much a question, but Callum was talking about the Broncos having a very boring style of play, which is one out runs, three tackles, spread it wide in the fifth, and then kick. Do you agree that this is a very boring and conservative side game plan that's too predictable?
It's boring, but if you're getting the result, I don't think you care. I think we saw that a lot with Melbourne. Melbourne with the back in the old wrestle days, they had players that could do something exciting once in a blue moon, but they were very happy to just do one out football, wrestle the game out of your hands and win by any means necessary. So I think in hindsight, as long as you're winning, I don't think you care how you get the win. In terms of a fan watching, I can see how it'd get annoying, but I, sitting here as a Warriors fan, I would much rather watch the Warriors play the most boring game against the Storm and win than what we saw. So I can see both sides of the argument. You want to see exciting football, but I want to see wins as well.
My thoughts on that one are, if you look over the last couple of years, the Broncos spine isn't sort of up there talent-wise with some of the top teams, and it hasn't been a settled spine. So maybe their backline talent isn't what it once was. So with guys like Payne Haas, they kind of try and squeak the results out by dominating up the middle. So I can see from that point of view why they're doing it, but they actually scored a few nice tries on the weekend, so can't complain.
Okay, that's I think that's it from the live chat, boys.
All right, so I may as well go with my question for you because it's a bit quicker. With the new forward signings the Warriors have made and the likely exit of Lodge, what is your 2023 Warriors pack?
All right, so I'm scratching Lodge. We're assuming he's left the club. I'll read it out. I've got it written down, actually. So Adam Fanua Blake, number 8. Wade Egan, number 9, hooker. Aaron Penney, number 10, the other prop. Mitch Barnett, new signing, number 11. Josh Curran, number 12. On the other edge, Tohu Harris, captain, and number 13 at lock. And the bench is Tavanga, Bunty Afoa, Ben Murdoch-Masila, and Katoa. So put Ben Murdoch-Masila in there for another big body to come off as a prop or second rower. But there it is. It's a tough one, Brad. I know I was discussing it with you, and it's kind of tough because we've also got other talents coming in, such as what's his name from the Sharks? His name's escaping me right now, Metcalf. And I thought maybe he'd be a good number 14, but I don't really want Tavanga missing out. I'm a big fan of Tavanga. So So what do you do? Do you put Metcalf in the halves and then someone like Chanel Harris-Tavita has to miss out? Is Chanel Harris-Tavita still going to be here? Don't know. But yeah, that would be what I would start with. If I'm writing names down right now, it's subject to change, obviously. But yeah.
We had the same players, but in different areas. So I'll quickly run mine out.
Yeah, what did you have?
So my front row, I've got Adam Fanua Blake, Wade Egan, and Tohu Harris.
Sure.
My second row, I've got Barnett and Katoa.
Yep.
I've got Curran as my lock.
Mm-hmm.
And then my bench, I've got Tavanga, Penny, Bunty, and the love of my life, Ben Murdoch-Mazila.
You see, that sounds good as well.
Yeah, I think I feel like Tohu, with his age, he's going to slowly gravitate towards the front row. And if Lodge is going, he'd be a good starter there. It could be a thing when he just moves back into the second row when they want to do a reach. Or it could be the other way, like you've got Tohu could move into the front row when one of the front rowers go off. If I saw this team on the team list next week in your order or in mine, I wouldn't be concerned. I'd be reasonably happy. And yeah, there's a lot of things in the air with what happens in the halves, who stays, who goes, that could change things. But yeah, that was it there for that, really.
Cool. Should go with mine to you.
Yep.
My question to you, Brad, was after watching about a quarter of the season now, does your preseason predicted top eight, does it differ from what you predicted preseason? Or is it playing out the way that you envisaged it would?
Yeah, and as you see, I made a nice little picture of our predicted eight that Paul's brought up for us now. This is what we both predicted, you on the left, me on the right here. So you had Panthers first, Roosters, Storm, Seagulls, Rabbits, Sharks, Raiders, and Warriors. That was your top eight. Now, the correct one and the one that I've got done was Manly number one, Panthers two, Rabbitohs three, Storm four, Roosters five, Eels six, Warriors 7, and Sharks 8. I don't see Manly staying in the number 1. I think Panthers have got that. I think I was a bit too cruel on the Storm, so I would be changing that to, like, Panthers Storm at the top. Seagulls, I don't think they're a top 4 team anymore. And the Sharks, who I had as 8th, I would put as a top 4. So my top 4 now would be Seagulls, Panthers, Storm, Sharks, and maybe the Roosters. And then the bottom of that, I would still have the Rabbitohs involved. Seagulls would still be involved. Eels would still be involved. I'm still saying the Warriors will make it. Warriors will be 8th.
I like it.
Yeah, so I'd probably still have those same 8 potentially. Just in a different order. So I'll stick to my guns.
You see, I see straight away where I went wrong, and it's probably
due to the Raiders.
Yeah, it's probably due to them not being relevant or winning anything since the 80s, but I completely forgot Parramatta Eels existed. yeah, and I think Raiders would go close to the spoon the way they're playing now. They'll probably finish one or two above Newcastle Knights, where I picked for the 8, but wooden spoon.
Yeah, and I know I gave no love to the Cowboys and they're 5th right now, but I still see it's a long time. I still see them dropping.
I don't know. Maybe I shave my last two off and I'll put the Eels up there, but yeah, maybe the Cowboys. Yeah, I hate to say it, but I'm still hopeful for the Warriors as well. I think if we sneak in there, it'll be 7 or 8.
Yeah. No, I still sit there in the 8, Paul, so I'm not a trader. It's Richie that's a trader. So we may as well jump into round 8.
I don't have a solitary tech trader. Whatever. Callum's asking us, how did this show get involved with using Sport Radio?
That's more your question, Paul.
It is more my question. We've overrun tonight, but we'll try and squeeze it in next week.
Okay, so yeah, you watch next week, Callum, for the story of how the show became. So I've got Simon's picks and I've got my picks here. So if you want to bring up the fixtures image, Paul, and Richard will give us his picks on the sly and I'll write them on the book. So first game on Thursday night, we've got Broncos Sharks. Simon and myself have both picked the Sharks. Broncos have showed promise, but yeah, I think the Sharks are just too strong at outfit right now.
I put Sharks, mate. Too Sharks hot for the Broncos, well. I think.
All right. Friday night, we've got Titans, Panthers. Simon and myself have both picked Panthers. Yeah, Titans looked horrible last week and Panthers haven't looked horrible yet. So,
yeah, I messaged you during the Titans-Cowboys game and I said I don't think I'm going to pick the Titans again this season. Panthers.
Panthers here. Last game on Friday is Rabbitohs-Seagulls. This one was tough for me, but I've gone with the Rabbitohs, and Simon's also gone with Rabbits.
Yeah, I went Rabbits. I'm disappointed, Brad. You're cheating on your second team. I thought we might pick this one different, but yeah, I went Rabbits.
It was very close, but I went with Rabbits. First game on Saturday, we've got the Warriors versus the Raiders, match of the round. I have gone with the Warriors. And Simon has gone with the Raiders. I'm not too surprised. We've both gone for the team that we support.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I think the Warriors will bounce back from that embarrassment. They'll want to make a statement. They're playing home or at their makeshift home in Redcliffe. And as Rue said earlier, they're undefeated there. They're three from three. So I've gone with home field advantage.
Yeah, me too. Same reasons, I think.
Warriors.
If it had been in Canberra, I might have thought long and hard, but I'm going with my heart. I went with Warriors. I like what's been done with the changes, whether they've been forced or through form. I like the team that's been named this week. I think we'll bounce back.
Yeah. And then next game is Bulldogs Roosters. Simon and myself have both gone with Roosters.
Sorry, I've just got to go. Have a look at Simon. He goes, I think the Raiders will win the first half and the Warriors will come back with a narrow lose. We've just said that the Warriors don't come back in the second half. They fade in the second half, but there we go.
Yeah, but so do the Raiders. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
It's going to be which team fades least.
It's going to be the worst second half of all time.
I really hope not.
There's a prediction for you, boys. Get to the TAB and ask them and see if they'll take your money on the worst second half of all time.
Worst second half. I think we just saw it, though. But
So
the next game on Saturday is Bulldogs-Roosters. Yeah, Simon and myself have both picked Roosters. Think it's easy. You're nodding, so I assume that you'll pick Roosters as well.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. Final game on Saturday is Eels-Cowboys. Simon and myself have both picked Eels. I know the Cowboys have looked good, but I think the Eels will still be better.
I went Eels, but I'm looking forward to that game. I think that's going to be a really good game.
All right. So far, even though we didn't share our picks, we're picking the same, Richie. we'll probably differ here, I'm sure. We have got the Knights versus the Storm. Myself and Simon have both gone with the Storm, but I know you love the Knights as your wooden spooners, so I'm sure you're backing them, aren't you?
The Knights to me are what the Dragons are to you. So, no, I went Storm.
Storm as well?
Yeah, Storm.
And then the last game, Dragons-Tigers. Now, this game was a lot harder for me to pick. Simon has picked the Tigers. If I can show you my little notepad, I had Tigers and I twinked them out earlier today and I put the Dragons. I don't want to pick the Dragons, but I think the Dragons will get them. Tigers are doing well, but without Dane Lowry at fullback, I've given the Dragons a slight edge. Who have you picked?
I went Dragons as well.
Man, we've picked exactly the
I
same.
I know, and without even knowing. I can see you doing U-turns though, Brad. You're now hating the Eagles and you're liking the Dragons.
You think I'm switching again.
Yeah.
Be interesting. So looking at it, we are all the same bar two games. So this could be Simon's. If Simon gets a perfect round, Simon takes the lead, I think, if my math is right, or he at least ties with me. I write, I don't do numbers. So the only games we've got different is Warriors-Raiders, where he's backed the Raiders, and Dragons-Tigers, where he's backed the Tigers. So we'll see what happens there. We're running a bit late, so I won't go over Super League. Not too much has changed. St. Helens is still number one. They did lose in the weekend to Castleford 30-10, and Wigan won 30-24 over Salford, so they are in second place. So it's kind of still a two-horse race, three if you want to include Ketelin's, but Ketelin's lost to Hull FC 14-8 as well. So hopefully we a bit quicker with our reviews next week, and we can cover the Super League with a bit more detail. But anything else you want to add?
No, as always, thank you, Paul, for your hard work.
Yeah,
and all the comments for your chat, and for the chat with you, Brad. It's fun as always.
Yes, and thank you, Paul, for everything you're doing in the background, and cheers for joining me tonight, Richie. And thank you everyone for tuning in and joining us on the Standoff with Brad and Richie. For your weekly update on Rugby League, tune into our show next week at 8 p.m. here on Facebook or at your convenience on iHeartRadio. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. And good night, everyone.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.